Here's the picture that I found close to it. Some people call it menorah. By the way, I don't think it was that tall. What? Yes, sir. Speak loud. Ouch. Cat house. Yes. Perfect. That's the seven. Yeah, that's the reason. No, nothing more than that. As far as I know, he didn't go for the nine or the five. Seven is a perfect number. 6 days, number six is a human. He created a human on which day? Sixth day. Seven, he rest because everything was perfect. Whenever he created something, what did he do? It was good, and he rest. It was good, he rest, right? After creation of the 6 days, and it was good, he rest. Perfection. Yes, sir. I'm going to go over there.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. And the seven branches has each of them has a bowl to be formed in like an almond in blossom. And on each of these, they place an olive oil lamp. Ouch. Whatever that is. I'm not touching anything, Ben. There's a high-pitched noise. The lamp was lit permanently to give a light inside the holy place. Remember, this is an enclosed area. So there's no light. There's no night light. And the priest in the tabernacle were responsible evening and morning, topping up the seven lamps with the oil and trimming with their wicks. Therefore, lampstand point us to the Jesus Christ himself and the light of the whole world. You guys know this. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. Go there. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am what? The light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. All right. As Roger mentioned, there is no measurement given for the lampstand of the pure gold, that which speaks of his deity that cannot be measured. When I found out that, I thought, wow, that is so good. God cannot be measured with the inches or feet or the kilometer. One technical point about the lampstand is of the interest. It is the light holder. What am I talking about? The olive oil lamp was placed upon the lampstand. The lampstand supports the flame, but the flame reveals the beauty of the golden lampstand. The oil lamp is the scriptural symbol of the Holy Spirit. I'm so sorry. As the olive oil lamp was supported by the lampstand, and they in turn reveal the beauties of the lampstand, Christ is the foundation and the support for the work of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit in turn reveals the beauty of Christ. Making sense? Let's go to chapter 30, please, verse 1. And we'll read, you shall make an altar to burn incense. And now this time we're going to see the golden incense altar within the holy place. You shall make of it the acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its width. It shall be square, and two cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be of one piece of it, with it. And you shall overlay it. Its top, its side, all around, and its horn with a pure gold. And you shall make for it in the molding of the gold all around, and two gold rings shall make for it under the molding of the both its side. You shall place them on its two sides, and it shall be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make a poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony. Therefore, the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Note that, please. The mercy seat over the testimony there, where there I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it the sweet incense every morning when he tend the lamp, and he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamp of the twilight, at twilight he shall burn incense on it, perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Would you underline perpetual incense before the Lord? You shall not offer strange incense on it, or the burnt offering, or grain offering, or nor shall you pour the drink offering on it. Verse 9 is very important. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horn once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. All right. Who has an interpretation for me? Yes, Manny?
Last week you explained the altar of incense. To my understanding, the altar of incense is a representation of our praise and worship to God.
Yes.
And he's very specific on how it should be done.
Yes.
And with the line that you had as perpetual, it's told in the Bible to pray without ceasing.
Excellent.
Praise and worship continually all our lives.
Good job. Very good job. Mikey?
Does the incense also represent?
Another good job. Good. Excellent. All right. Who else? Roger? What they say, it, right?
Whatever those guys said.
Yes.
And that's why he deluded with any.
Remember Aaron's two sons mm-hmm. did the fire. And they did whatever they want to do, not according to the God's prescribed way. What happened to them? God killed them. Isn't that scary in a way? And I'm glad. Aren't you glad that He doesn't do that during our worship time? We should have a morgue next door. Yeah, because. And some of the songs we sing, it has a lyric, everything I have is yours, and then there would be a bunch of dead body, clunk, clunk, clunk. All right, here's an incense altar. The picture I found is golden incense altar represents the intercessory ministry of Christ protecting and perfecting us. And I'll explain a little more. Golden incense altar is a place where incense was burned. The sacrifice of any kinds were forbidden. Remember verse 9 I told you? It's very important. No burnt offering, no grain offering, nor shall be a drink offering will be on it. And it was the size of 1.5 feet wide, 1.5 feet deep, and 3 feet high, made out of acacia wood overlaid with gold. It speaks of Christ again. Incense is a symbol of the prayer and praise in the Bible. In case you wonder, where do you find that, preacher? Revelation 5, please. Revelation chapter 5. This is not the only place. In Psalm, you also find a similar one. Go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, please. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Who is this Lamb?
Jesus.
Great. Each having a harp and golden bowl full of incense, which are what?
The prayers.
Prayers of the saints. So when you pray, listen, when you pray, your prayer goes straight to God and became an incense to in the bowl, to the Lord, for the bowl, in the bowl. The golden incense altar is, first of all, the figure of Jesus Christ as our general intercessor. What is his current ministry in heaven? Ministry of intercessory prayer, right? Can I add another line here? There are two articles of furniture which spoke of his work in heaven for us. the bronze laver outside of the holy place and a golden incense altar. Bronze laver speak of his work in cleansing his own people in preparation for worship. Remember, it was a judgment, and as the priests washing their hands and feet before they went enter into the holy place. And the golden incense altar speak of his Jesus' intercessory work as he protects us and perfect us. Why did I use the word perfect us? Okay, there's another word we can use. Can you come on?
Huh? Sanctification.
Very good. Sanctification. You guys are rolling. Cool.
Something had to sink in.
Wow. After 2 weeks in a row.
Short night.
You force us to read before we get here.
Huh?
You force us to read before we get here.
Yeah. Great. Good job, guys. A contrast of two altars that at this point will throw the light upon our subject. The golden incense altar is where the God dealt with the saint, and the altar of burnt offering is, that's also outside, before the bronze laver, where he dealt with the sinner. Golden incense altar speak of heaven, and altar of burnt offering speak of the earth. Golden incense altar has to do with holiness. The altar of burnt offering has to do with the sin. You following me so far? The golden incense altar as a figure represented what Christ does for us in heaven. Contrary to that, altar of the burnt offering as a figure represented what Christ did on earth. Judging our sin and taking that judgment of our sins. All right, can I change the slide? Are we good? There are two final words about this altar. Aaron was instructed to offer perpetual incense upon it. This reminds us of the command, as the Apostle Paul said in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And you may wonder, how do I connect this thing? This is where that fancy book comes in really handy, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Or some of you guys have this center margin. There's a bunch of verses, right? Yep. That usually gives it's a miniature size of Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, correlation, connecting with one another. And you may say, well, do I really have to do that? No, you don't have to do anything. But if you do, you find so much treasure from the Bible. It's like digging a gold mine. You find one after another. You find a vein, and you're just following through that vein. Again, the strange incense was forbidden to be offered. And the formula of incense should not be duplicated. It's not like if I understand it correctly, the perfume or the cologne, some very expensive. Have you heard that some of the expensive cologne, this perfume thing, tiny bottle is like several million dollars, and they guard how to make that thing very carefully. It's a top secret for them.
They're not allowed to copy it.
They are not allowed to copy it. If they make it, and they shall be killed. Mm-hmm. I thought, whoa. The strange incense speak of any attempt to worship God, which is contrary to his word. All right, next article thing that we find right before the Holy of Holies is the veil. Chapter 26 of Exodus, please. Exodus 26, verse 31. Are you with me?
Yep.
Okay. You shall make a veil woven blue, purple, scarlet thread, and white, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with the artistic design of a cherubim. You shall hang it upon the four pillars of acacia wood layer with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon the four sockets of silver. And, okay, stop. Gold represent deity. And silver represent what? Well, it starts with R.
Redemption.
You're there.
Redemption.
No? Well, yeah, close to redemption. Ransom. 30 pieces of silver, remember? Cost of a slave. That was the cost of Jesus, the Judas sold. Okay. What was, okay, while I'm on the roll, what's a bronze? What does it represent? Judgment. Okay, good. And you shall hang the veil upon the from the clasp. Then you shall bring the ark of testimony in there. Behind the veil, veil shall be the divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. Or some of your Bible says the holy of holies. That either way. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of testimony in the most holy. And you shall set the table outside of the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the one on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, made by the weaver. And you shall make of the screen 5 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast a 5 socket of bronze for them. All right. Interpretation time. Yes, Mike.
There's several things in here. First, through the veil represents, and that veil separates.
What does the purple represent? You missed the purple.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good job.
Okay. And the veil separates the holy of holies from when Jesus died. Of course, that veil was torn, which now allowed us the access to into the holy.
You guys are rolling. On a roll. Good job. And. Don't stop. You have more?
That's it.
So that veil was a barrier.
Yes.
Yep.
Right?
Separating.
And when it was ripped, you know, when Jesus died, it was ripped, it was like Jesus' broken body associated with that veil. Because it's an association with Jesus, and now we have access to it. Right?
Good.
So Mikey was saying, right?
Hold on, Roger. Manny?
Yes. Remembering that all of this is a lesson for us and a representation.
Yes.
The veil standing before all of the Levites and all of the priests except one.
Who would that
was
be?
That was the high priest.
Okay. How many times a year?
Once a year on the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
But two things. One, if he was not pure of heart in there, they'd pull him out by the rope tied by...
Yeah, because there won't be any more jingling, 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 thud.
That's how they would know.
Okay.
Yes. And the fact is, that representation is humanity's sin can only get so far and stop.
Good job. Good job.
But there's only one pure of heart that can enter, and he can only enter with the blood of atonement that he would sprinkle on the mercy seat, which is... a whole different story.
Yeah.
But that is a representation of what Christ has done for us, and that veil is now ripped top to bottom, where God tore it, Jesus tore it, and now we have access to our Father. We can.
Okay. You guys got it all, so I can go home, right? All right. Roger.
The veil also represents flesh of Jesus.
Yeah.
And he got pierced.
You're stretching on that. Just because you read it from the commentary, that doesn't mean it's all true.
Somebody read it. Was it on Google?
Yes, yes, can be possible, but not necessarily. He made a way to Holy of Holies. His body broken for us. Yes, I agree. Yes. But putting the... You know what? I take it back. You're right. Veil... represent his body. You're right. I'm thinking something else. Mikey.
No, I was about to say, where the priest would have to go in once a year, year after year, all, you know.
Good. Yeah, Roger was right. I was not correct. Mm-hmm. All right, here's the veil. The picture, that's the best I could find. And what does the cherubim look like? I don't know. It has a four wings. That's as far as I can tell you. Because it says in Ezekiel and as well as in the book of Revelation. All right, veil was a third curtain that separated the holy God from the sinful man. It separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, and the veil was made using the four color: purple, royalty; blue, heaven; scarlet, blood of Jesus Christ; white linen, the purity of Jesus Christ, in which had embroidered the cherubim of gold, corresponding with the four gospels. And you may say, oh, what four gospels? I will talk more. And we have seen these four colors previously, and with the two other curtains outside. Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Stan, are we going too fast?
You can't go
slower. Okay. Sorry. Verse 19 of chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, what?
His flesh.
Just like the Roger said. Yeah. Yeah. Veil stood silently, reminding us that God would be the manifest in the human flesh. The veil was a prophetic picture of the humanity of Christ, silent symbol of the incarnation. Okay, let me know when you guys are done writing. Done? As long as the veil hung in its place, it separated God and man. The sinner could come no further than the door of the outer court. From there, the holy place, the only priest served. But the priest was forbidden to pass the veil. Only a high priest could come past the veil, then only once a year on the Day of Atonement. Step there for a minute, please. Remember the incense altar. Did you notice that it said four, each corner has horns? Okay, what does a horn mean? Anybody remember? Huh? Give the man a raise. Yeah, you got it right. Power or strength. Okay, back to this. Priests are forbidden to pass the veil. Only high priest could come past the veil. Then only once a year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, right? Then, but he could never enter without the blood of the atonement. And all this revealed to mankind how far our sin had separated us from God. Let's pull back. We are inside of the holy place. Let's pull back to the outside of the holy place, where within the tabernacle vicinity, where the priest is hanging around. There's a bronze lever, and then when you go further out, there is a what? Altar of burnt offering, right? When you go further out, there is a door. When you walk outside, now you are within the camp of the Israeli people. Am I correct? Can anybody walk into the tabernacle tent area? Can anybody walk in? Yes, no? You're thinking, I'm not going to answer that because it sounds like a trick.
No.
Only the priest can enter. Only priest can enter into that outer fence. And priests can enter, but they have to stop at the holy place. Only holy place, the holy place, you have to take turn. They have to cast a lot. Who's going to go in to trim the wick? And who's going to add the oil into the lamp? So they have to take turn. And who's going to bring, they also take turn to bring the showbread. How often?
Once a week.
They did that, but they could not enter into holy of holies, the most holy place, because you have to be high priest. And also, like many said, they have to roped the guy's ankle with his bell. If his life is not right, he will walk in, he will be zapped by God. So they listen. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Yeah, he continues to jingle. He's good. He comes out. Okay. What if his life was not right? Jingle, 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 thud. Okay, next one.
They couldn't go in. Pull them out.
Yeah, they have to pull them out. Yes, Mikey.
So are you saying that the people would have to give their offering to the priest outside?
Yes.
At the entrance.
At the entrance.
Yes.
And then
stuff. Yep. Before he start to cut the slaughtered animal, they have to wash their hands and their feet.
Well, if that's the case.
I don't know. It's above my pay grade. God said it in the Bible. I'm not going to argue with him.
I would think they have to wash their hands.
That's the logical thing in our mind, right?
Right.
I'm not going to tell God, you did wrong here.
I didn't say you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
When
Christ died, the veil was torn from top to bottom, as we all know, symbolic, giving us a symbolic way to God. But it required nothing short of the death of Christ. Thus, the purpose of the incarnation is revealed. Christ did not come in human flesh to set us an example or to teach us about God or to straighten out the systems of ethics. He did all this, but the primary purpose of his coming in human form was to offer his body as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Amen? All right, now the last furniture. Now we are within the Holy of the Holies. Ark of God, chapter 25, back to Exodus chapter 25, verse 10. And they shall make an ark of acacia with a 2.5 cubits shall be its length, a cubit and a half its width, and cubit and a half its height. And you shall overlay it with the pure gold. Inside and out you shall overlay it. You shall make on it a molding of the gold all around. You shall cast the four rings of the gold for it. Put them in the four corners. Two rings shall be on the one side, two rings on the other side. You shall make poles of acacia wood overlay with the gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the side of the ark, and the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. Verse 16, and you shall put into the ark of testimony, which I will give you. And you shall make the mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubit shall be its length, and 2.5, a cubit and a half its width. You shall make a 2 cherubim of gold. Hammered work, you shall make them at the 2 end of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on one end, the other cherub on the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 end of it, and of one piece with a mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, and covering the mercy seat with their wings. And they shall face one another, and the face of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put mercy seat on the top of the ark. In the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you. I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from the between the cherubims which are on the ark of the testimony. With everything which I will give you in the commandment of the children of Israel. All right. What do you get? There's a boatload of stuff. Manny, you want to start? Make it quick.
The design of it shows the cherubim on there of a conscience.
Don't go to the mercy seat. Just the ark. It's a 2 ark. Furniture. It seems one, but it's a 2 separate furniture. Don't talk about the mercy seat, just the ark.
Okay.
the ark itself has the provisions of God's presence.
Good.
It was a symbol of the presence of God to the Israelites. The commandments, do you want me to get into this or not?
No, we're going to go there.
All right. It was where the people could meet God in all that he had for them. That's what it was for.
Okay, there is a term military people often use, POC, stands for point of contact.
Point of contact.
This is the point of contact between man and God. God said, I will meet with you. I will speak with you. I'm in verse 22. And there I will meet with you. I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are the ark of the testimony. There is a song, between the wings of cherubim, I will meet with you. Remember that song?
No.
All right, who else has for me? Interpretation, please. Roger? Okay. Mikey?
Well, I was... That's in the,
yeah.
Because the law is in...
No, go ahead, talk.
The law is in the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Israelites were supposed to obey. This was their guide, and also what they were held against, or what it was held against them. This is the law, this is what you're supposed to do. Unfortunately, this is what you did, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it also showed that, but I had to get into the mercy seat because that covers all their sin they've done.
Good job. Good job.
You know?
We'll go there.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry, man.
No.
You're good job. You did good. I knew where he was going, so that's why I stopped him.
That's why I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to have
it. It wasn't time. You, good timing.
All right. The Ark of a Covenant or Ark of a Testimony, Ark of God, they're all the same thing, okay? Ark of God, Ark of Testimony, or Ark of Covenant, they're all the same. It represents the person of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Prophet and the Priest of God. What am I talking about? Let me say this. Now we get into the Holy of Holies, the most important area of the tabernacle. As you come near the dwelling place of God, and of course he doesn't go into that little tiny place. Emphasis changed from the work of Christ to the person of Christ. There are two articles of furniture in the Holy of Holies, the ark and the mercy seat. Here's the picture. This one looks cool. With the light, all this.
Yeah.
That was the one I was going to bring in, and one time I forgot. Yeah. Chest measuring 3 3/4 feet wide, 2 1/4 feet deep, 2 1/4 feet high, made of acacia wood overlaid with inside and outside with the gold. Thus, the true symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, setting forth the both deity and represented by gold and his humanity. Represented by wood, as we learned. It was a symbolism pointing to Christ as what? God-man. Ark was not merely empty box, because there are how many items inside?
Three.
Mentioned in Hebrews chapter 9. Would you go with me, please? Hebrews 9. By the way, you cannot study the tabernacle without studying the New Testament, especially Hebrews. You cannot study the book of Leviticus without studying Leviticus. Yes, Manny?
I'm sorry. Revelations came to mind when you're talking about the tabernacle.
Yeah, there is. It covers also too. Yes.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. Which had a golden censer of the Ark of the Covenant overlaid in all sides with the gold, in which were golden part. There is, had a manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and tablet of the covenant. Okay, is this a first set or a second set? The tablet of the covenant. It's a second set. Yeah, Moses threw a temper tantrum. Remember he broke it? And God said, okay, you're going to write this time. Yeah. Tablet of a covenant speak of the kingship of Christ. This earth need a ruler, man need a king, and someday Jesus is coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It also reminds us of the law that shows our sins. It also speaks of the Word of God. Am I making sense? Can I change the slide? The pot of manna speaks of Christ as a prophet. He not only speaks of God, but he was God's message to men. At the same time, manna is reminding us of God's love, provision, and care for us. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? Love and provision and care for us. Yes, Manny? Hold on.
The law represented a position of authority and a way, the code. This was the law of God. The manna was God's provision. And
where do you get the idea of provision?
The manna in the 40 years where he provided for them no matter what.
Good, good. That's what I'm looking for.
And then you have the budding.
I'm going to cover that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Aaron's rod in the ark speak of the work of Christ. Yeah, they fell. As a priest, the prophet spoke for God to before men, but priest spoke for man before God. Am I making sense? That's very distinctively different role. Also symbolize God's given leadership and authority. Why do I say that? Remember there were disgruntled people? Disgruntled people. And they were revolting against the Moses and Aaron. And we are anointed to nanny, all that stuff. So what did God told them to do? Yes.
Each.
Mm-hmm.
With the name of Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, he told Moses, put Aaron's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Put a hide.
Mm-hmm.
And then the four-hour deal, open it up, and it will be a high priest. Would represent the priest.
Yeah, keeping the authority. It's not the, you know, some people think that it's a resurrection because the flower came up. Don't hold on to that thing. The idea is authority, leadership. Okay? All right, this is trifold function describes the office of Christ as mediator. All right, now the final furniture within the Holy of the Holies, the mercy seat. As I mentioned, there was two articles of furniture within the Holy of Holies. Appearance is one, but there's two distinctive identifications. Mercy seat was placed on top of the ark. I'm confident that the mercy seat was far more important than anything else in the tabernacle. In the instruction, God made it very clear. In Exodus chapter 25, please. Exodus 25, verse 22. I will meet with you and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of testimony, about everything which I will give you in the commandment to the children of Israel. The mercy seat is where God communed with mankind. There is no anthropomorphic notion that God sat on the mercy seat, because we translate in English, we translate a mercy seat. So some people think that it like a throne sitting, God is sitting on the chair. No, it's not. It's just thing that covering the ark. He simply made his presence between the cherubim to meet Moses and the high priest once a year. Gold of the mercy seat, of course, represents the deity of Christ. If you notice, it's made in the pure gold, right? Pure deity. It's not deity and humanity. Go to the Hebrews chapter 2, please. Verse 17. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, in all things, you there? Therefore, in all things, he has made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make a propitiation for the sins of the people. Okay, the word propitiation is the same Greek word for the mercy seat. Christ is the mercy seat today for the world. And you're thinking, where did you come up with that idea? I'm glad you asked. John chapter 20, please. John chapter 20. Let's go to Jesus' tomb. John chapter 20, verse 12. You there yet? John chapter 20, verse 12.
Yep.
She, Mary, saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus was head laden. Here's a, remember cherubim on the mercy seat?
Oh, yeah.
One facing the other, they are facing to one another, but they are looking down, and there is a Jesus lying there. Jesus, our God, our Savior, taking everything on himself. Let me put it this way. Let's pretend we are looking at God the Father. Okay? You with me? We are standing next to God the Father from the heaven. When he looked down through the top of that badger skin and the lamb skin dying in red, and then what else?
Badger skin
is outside, the lamb skin.
The ground's here.
Yeah, and then finally there's a cherubim. And inside, while you're standing, you look up to the ceiling, you see the bunch of the embroidered cherubims, right? But God's eyes can penetrate all of that. And he sees the mercy seat, pure gold. Within there is a law of testimony. Remember what Micah said? The law reveals our sin. The law does not make us clean. The law only show us that we are sinner. Good example, says 75 on the I-19. Okay, some of you have a left foot. And when the law says 75 and you go 102, then it shows that you're a lawbreaker, right?
Ordinance breaker.
The law does not, speed limit does not make you the correct, does not make you the better person. It just revealed us that we are sinner. All right, the law is there, so it revealed our sin. Let's go back to the ark of God. And there is a mercy covering. High priest come in, sprinkle the blood on top of it. Atonement. Yes, we have sinned, but somebody else died on our behalf. And it is the blood. The life was given for our life. So when God says that, it was good. But when Jesus died on the cross, that was one time deal, not every year. You with me? Okay, let's pull all the way out, all the way outside. This time we see the Israel camp layout in Numbers chapter 2. We are not going to read all of that. If we are able to fly over the Israel camp in the wilderness, we would find a very interesting formation of the setup of their camp. It's not something they have just set up the camp any way they want. They had to follow the specific instruction from God. It's recorded in chapter 2 of the book of Numbers. Here's the picture. There is a tabernacle. Okay, I'm going to just use one side. There's a tabernacle in the middle. Yep. And there's a group of people. That's a tribe of Levites. Are you with me? Three group of people near the tabernacle. They are not counted. Population-wise, they are not counted. Never been counted. And then east. Okay. This is the east side. How do I know? Because it's Judah. And then north, Dan. And the west is Ephraim and Reuben on the south side. Why did he do that? What do you think that looked like?
Mm.
Yeah. The way God designated each tribe position shaped the formation of cross. Not only we also find Each main tribe, Dan and Reuben and Judah, represent particular animal. And you may wonder, what are you talking about? Ephraim represents the ox. They had a banner. They actually carried a banner with each animal look in animal thing, which coincided with the book of Mark. Why? Ox represent working hard, a servant. Reuben represent the man, the book of Luke. What is the content of the Luke? Trying to show the human side of Jesus Christ, right? And Dan, which is located in the north side, represent eagle. And that's for the book of John. And tribe of Judah, of course, they represent the lion and the book of Matthew. Can I change the slide? Yes, Manny?
I'd like to say, if you don't mind.
I mind.
The book of, okay.
Say it.
The book of Numbers is a very, to some people, dry, long,
it's
hard
not
to understand book. It's not with for some people. And when I had trouble with it, I had to look at it from a military point.
It makes a lot of sense.
And I started counting the numbers, adding them together. When I got to the end of the book, my favorite book, because of Paul's statement on my part was when I got done, is Moses was a great military. When you see the
yes army, and no.
And then I said, wait a minute, who is his boss?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And that's where he got it from. If you look at it from a military standpoint, their travels and how the numbers of
the formation is
the
that
formation,
everything has a reason for
everything.
It.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Oh, more than that.
Okay, next slide. If we have a book of Ezekiel, you guys remember the Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 through 12, when you have a chance, go home and read. You will remember the first chapter talks about the living creatures. Ezekiel had a vision of God, and he saw that these creatures with the four faces of each flying around the throne of God. Each one had the faces. Each one had a four face in ox, man, eagle, and lion with the two wings stretched out to the heaven in reverence, and two wings covered their bodies as an expression of submission. Many Bible commentators believe that they are cherubim. And this incredible engineering of God doesn't stop there. In the book of Revelation chapter 4, we find this description of a scene around the throne of God. Mm-hmm. Guess who was flying around there too?
The cherubim.
Guess how many faces they have?
Four.
Mm-hmm. And they are the one who is crying, holy, holy, holy. And the heaven was shaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel sorry for anyone who thinks that worship is supposed to be, yeah, after you drink a gallon of orange juice and you have the sorry excuse face with the depression look, and that's how you're supposed to worship. No. In my opinion, it will be loud, hard metal rock up in heaven. So get used
to
more. I think it's more of the hard country music style.
For the rock.
All right. The entire tabernacle point to one person. Who would that be?
Jesus.
Who would that be?
Jesus.
Who would that be?
Jesus.
Amen. Let's pray.